Welcome to the Crypto Witch Club podcast, a space for all to learn about blockchain tech. Join us as we demystify NFTs, report on crypto culture, and navigate Web3.
On this episode of the Crypto Witch Club podcast, we discuss the power of education and communication in the Web3 space. We'll cover topics from DAOs we love to what's a DAG, and discuss the importance of minimizing environmental impact in the crypto industry. Did you know that over 70% of crypto miners currently use renewable energy in some form, according to the University of Cambridge's Bitcoin Consumption Index? We'll also say a very happy birthday to Satoshi Nakamoto and review DeFi basics and bridging between blockchains. Enjoy this app.
We just got into like 10 minutes of the podcast and we realized the microphone was on silent. Yeah, I mean, we only got a little bit in, so I'd rather realize when we're doing it after. Yep. Learn something new today.
Yeah.
We had such a big week.
Yes, and exciting new things coming up too.
So much. For those of you who joined our Instagram Lives with Albright and Holisticism, thank you. We had so much fun. There were so many good questions asked. One we'll dig into a little bit later, but I was nervous. It was my first time doing Instagram Lives.
Yeah, you did a great job.
I was really sweaty.
It's hard to try new things, but you did it.
I think everybody we were talking to and working with, Albright also interviewed Maggie from SheFi, which is another great crypto resource. Everybody was so cool and like fun that I got nervous once it was happening.
Yeah, the Web3 female community is really supportive.
Totally. It's kind of embarrassing though that we haven't done one at all.
It's not. We've been working on other things.
That's true. Other types of content.
But it is fun getting in front of the camera more, right?
Yeah. It's cool. What was new for you this week? Anything exciting in the crypto space?
I'm getting on Twitter more. I've actually had an account since 2014, but I really haven't really even used how to like learn how to use it. So I spent some time on there this week and pulled some tweets I thought we could chat about.
Makes sense because you're so visual. But yeah. You go on a visual platform to consume your content.
Yeah, I'm more of an Instagram girl.
Yeah, I see that.
So I saw you you liked this Madison Adams. She writes some interesting things on Twitter about the Web3 space, like just supporting women. And here she said, Web3 is like a baby we're getting to collectively raise and watch grow up.
It's totally true. Maybe that's why we're all so connected. There's such like a caring, loving community feeling.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's like how we get the empathy into it. Like think of Web3 like a Tamagotchi, like we have to nurture it. Kind of a vibe.
Totally. I love that. It's like, it takes a village.
Yeah. And it sort of puts an interesting spin. I feel like corporate lifestyle now is very like anti being your family. But in Web3, it's kind of like the vibe. It's more like community based. So I'm wondering how that's going to shift work culture in the future.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of DAOs and stuff are in their like figuring it out phase. Mm-hmm. Like we're just figuring out as a collective and as a community, how do you project manage? How do you pay people? How do you determine what's worth what? And how do you have efficient voting? And I think there's so many, this is such a like learning curve moment, but it's exciting because these new systems are being put into place and these new applications.
But even how on the Instagram Live yesterday, you were talking about how all of our skills are transferable. It's kind of like there's governance. So all those like poli-sci people need to get into crypto too, because there's a lot of governance going on. I went into one of the Twitter spaces, those new like Clubhouse type things where you listen in on combos.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did like it. And the one I was listening in on was Seed Club.
Oh, yeah.
And it was how to raise money for your DAO, but also they were talking about how to buy an MBA team. Yes. So it's an MBA, it's a group of people that have formed a DAO to buy an MBA team. And I think that's really interesting because we've also been talking about the ownership experience and how if you're creating art with a group of artists and it's and then it's put on the blockchain, that makes it more of an experience and then you can own it.
Totally. I think the sports team is so funny because I briefly read that and totally forgot about it like a while ago. And I just remember thinking like, whose name is the owners? Do they put on the owners trophies? Because it's so many people who can contribute and do that. But the thing I thought was really cool is you can do any type of investment DAO. Like, I wouldn't personally want to buy a basketball team, but it would be really cool to contribute to a DAO that buys art or buys real estate.
Yeah, sure.
Or buys like Yeezys and resells them.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options. I mean, it's taking business to, like, investing in business into a more transparent, digital, happening right now kind of space.
Yeah, I think the transparency is such a cool layer, or I guess not a layer, but a transparent layer. But what I think about, I mean, with CDAO, or with the tweet you just read, C Club, it's from CDAO. The cool about CDAO is they invest in like Web3 projects and applications. So they have pitch days and stuff. So when you are part of that DAO, you essentially are acting as an investor for these exciting new Web3 companies.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
I still haven't found the DAO that's like right for me. And I know it's out there. Yeah. I just have to get a little more focused on what I want to get from it, I think, and what I can contribute and be realistic, because we have so much on our plate right now. But I want to be part of the ecosystem. And like, I believe in that. I like it more as like an investment club or a community like that than as a traditional business structure. Okay. I think that's the type I would want to do.
You want to participate in like a set it and forget it type of system.
Like, I'd like to be involved, obviously, in the voting. I'd be happy to like contribute my thoughts, but I feel like I want to find a DAO with a track record of investing in good talent or good art or has a really strong team where I can like buy in with the token.
Because I feel like we could offer our marketing expertise in a DAO.
Absolutely. Essentially, it would be perfect for us. It's just the bandwidth.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you're open to it, I'm open to it. If you're going to come back from Florida in a few days, and I'm going to be like, hey, can we join a DAO? This is what we need to do.
Paid.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's my thought. It's like the future of work. Like, maybe that is how we work, doing marketing for Web3. We do it in a DAO.
Yeah.
Well, we're like that DAO. In many DAOs.
Yeah, like that DAO Moisa that I'm interested in. It's launching, and it's all digital marketing. And I thought that was so cool because I knew we could contribute to a DAO like that. I'm trying to think. There's one called HerDAO, which I think invests in female-led projects.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a DAO field trip day and actually dig in and see. Because I think it'd be fun to do as a team.
Mm-hmm.
We're stronger together. We already have our work set up down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I feel like every DAO could benefit from some marketing help.
Yeah, and just even aligning your messaging so you're controlling your messaging and your community's controlling the messaging, not the other way around. I think communicators are so needed in Web3 because in order to have adoption, you have to have education. So I feel like this skill that's considered really undervalued, like I feel like social media manager is like the catch-all term for like graphic designer and content maker and crisis communicator. Actually, I saw a post from the personhood who we actually, I did a podcast recorded with her in December, and that's actually coming out in the next few weeks. But she had put up something about how freelancers and content creators in general are really undervalued. Because it's kind of like they expect a lot of companies expect the marketers to do the branding or the branding people to be able to put together the social media strategy. And that's not how it works, but it's how we work. So we work together, designers and content creators.
Another thing that I heard about this week was that people are renting out their NFTs. I would love to get in this game.
Tell me more.
That's all I know.
No, this is kind of a new thing that I've seen pop up, and I have to dig more into it. Yeah. But I did notice that Meta Angels, which is this super cool NFT project, I'm considering one.
Okay.
They are renting out Meta Angels on Brandy Zuckerberg's platform, Hug, which is essentially a collective that supports people in Web3, makes them more accessible, educational, very aligned with what we believe in at Crypto Witch Club. But they're renting out Meta Angels. They have a whole program with that. And I love this idea. It's kind of like the new art curator. Like, I could totally see you, like future Caitlin, curating art collections, like renting out digital art in the metaverse.
Yes. Well, I'm definitely going to design the interiors of our Crypto Witch Clubhouse.
Yes.
So that happens.
I'm so ready. Like, I know it'll be gorgeous. And I just love the idea of how cool would it be to host, like, a gallery opening. And we can go to find major artists, see if we can make the art into NFTs even. I wonder if we can make it a program where you take people in Web 2, or I guess I'll call it World 2 right now, if we're going to think of it like that. In the physical sense, and then we help bring them in to like Web3.
Yeah.
IRL.
We could definitely do that since we like have a history of working with artists and stuff.
Yeah, and designers that failed Miami Art Week project.
Maybe we can make a DAO for this project.
Honestly, I think it'd be really cool. I love the idea of investing in art. It's funny though, because there needs to be more education, I think, in that community. So I feel like a lot of artists are like offended by NFTs, like find them offensive. Not digital artists or designers so much, but like I make with my hands, you know, type of artist. And I feel like there's this reel going around on this TikTok where these artists are like, look at my art. It's an NFT, but you can, it's real. Like, it's an NFT, but you can hold it or you can do this. I mean, like, real art can be an NFT. It literally is just providing proof of authenticity.
Yeah, it's just a digital provenance record.
Totally. Mark the Crypto Witch's words, of my words. tell me if you agree with me, though. I think that in 5 years, all major contemporary artists will have NFTs attached to their physical artwork.
I think they'll just call it something different, like, because people are getting confused in the semantics,
right,
of what an NFT is. The NFT is the record,
yep,
of whatever you're minting.
Yeah, an NFT can be a house deed, it can be a musical album, it can be a plant.
So I think in the future, art, major art will have a digital provenance record.
Right. They're going to take out the trigger.
They're going to take out the trigger word that confuses everybody. But yeah, that's what I think. If you were buying a Picasso today, I would want a digital record of its ownership.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's a way how galleries can move into Web3 by offering, hey, your choice of which blockchain your art is being minted on.
Yes. Like, you go to the gallery, you pick your artwork, and they're like, would you like that minted on Polygon, Solana, or Ethereum?
Yeah.
The gas fees are extra, admin charges.
No, I think that'll be like part of the gallery's fees of figuring that out and helping the sale happen. I mean, but then once everything's on the blockchain, then it'll change. I think a lot of industries are going to have a lot of ebb and flows right now.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be so many applications that come up that make the usability so much easier. Mm-hmm. Like, people probably have just an app where they submit which blockchain they like, approve the gas fee, and that's it. Like, really quickly, without having to worry about, like, go on Zapper, see where everything is, like, check your Ether scan. I think, like, the usability of DeFi and NFTs is going to be sped up so much.
Do you think some of the inaccessibility about Web3 right now, the like decentralized part about it and how it's kind of hard to use and difficult to figure out, is part of the culture?
I hope not. Right. Like, I think this is the thing. Like, if it'll never get bigger and get to mass adoption if we don't make it easier for people to do it instead of harder. Mm-hmm. So I think there is some gatekeeping in some of the Web3 spaces where people like to use the jargon. They like to be really technical with terminology, and that's okay. But I think there should be resources like Crypto Witch Club and others we've seen then break those barriers, because DeFi can do so much good for so many people. But it's a huge learning curve, and it's not easy to access right now, even just Ethereum gas fees. Mm-hmm. So I think we're in a really like growing and learning phase.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a long way to go. I mean, I feel like we're internet, but like pre-SEO.
Read only crypto, right? Except for we're totally reading everything.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Can you explain the DAO versus DAG, or DAG? Is that how you say it? Or is it...
I've been saying DAG, but okay. Actually, I've only spoken about it through writing and on Instagram. So it might be DAG. I've been calling it a DAG.
Okay. And are they related or no, not at all?
No. So they're both acronyms, and okay. they both start with D. Mm-hmm. A DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization. And as we know, we kind of talked in the last Crypto Witch episode, it's a new way of forming community to make a big impact, a new way of structuring company. It's really exciting. That's what DAO is. DAG is actually, rather than, it's another type of infrastructure. It's essentially, instead of a blockchain where you have these individual chains on a block, it's a directed acyclical graph. So acyclical means it doesn't go in a cycle, and it's a graph. So essentially, instead of a blockchain being, think of it as train tracks, and each block forms a track, and they have to be laid one by one. For example, if you look at like a Bitcoin or Ethereum network, with a DAG,
it's not required to have this one-on-one layering. You can actually build out of the chain. So it looks, instead of looking like a chain, it's almost like a graph.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this kind of like how the ERC-20 tokens are on top of ETH?
Almost. It's a different, they're both like infrastructure, okay, I would say, in the blockchain. With DAGs, I think the reason I think it's going to play a part in the future of cryptocurrency, and this is something I'm still learning about, so I have to learn a little more, but what they're able to do is they're able to be more efficient because they're able to do these multi blocks and kind of create more and move faster before one thing's finished. So you don't have to complete one block to start the next. You can do these simultaneously. So it makes it faster. It's energy efficient, which is great compared to something that's like a proof of work protocol. And it's more secure than a traditional blockchain. And I have to confirm exactly how it's more secure. I forgot, but I'm interested in the way it's going. I'm still working out how to break it down visually and like verbally to people. Because while I get the benefits of it, I'm having a hard time differentiating between that. But essentially a DAO is a new type of company or community structure, and a DAG is more efficient crypto solution similar to a blockchain.
Okay.
Cool. It's a little more complicated.
Cool. Wow. So learning new things all the time. Stuff's always changing.
Yeah.
We're staying on top of it.
And I think that's what's so exciting. Like sometimes I hear about things that are going on through like the questions on CryptoWitch, mm-hmm, and I have to Google it and take a peek at it. And the great thing though is once you build your foundational knowledge, mm-hmm, it's a lot easier to understand these new pieces that come out because you've, mm-hmm, already built a foundation. But yeah, a witch on Instagram asked the DAG question last week, and I had to like sit on it for a few days and really think about the projects and use it, dig into, mm-hmm, some articles. But yeah, I'm really excited to learn more about them. And I think this is just, it's so important to know in blockchain and crypto and Web3, there are so many avenues. You're never going to feel or be like an expert at all of them. Like this tech wasn't even around. Well, okay, it was around 10 years ago. It wasn't around 12 years ago though. So, I mean, I think we're always going to be learning and growing. And actually, I can't do like simple math because 2009 Bitcoin came out. It's 2022, 13 years. Okay. I heard April 5th is Satoshi's birthday.
Oh, tax day?
April 5th isn't tax day.
Oh, April 15th is
tax day. It was the day we did our taxes, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's their real birthday. I don't like to refer to them as him because I like to think Satoshi Nakamoto might be a woman, okay, or a collective of witches. That's where my vote lies. But yeah, so on the website where they published the white paper and the announcement was made, you have to put your birthday in, I guess, to the website for the admin, and it was April 5th. So, I mean, I'm sure that's fake because that's a historical date. There's something in history that happened. Oh. Remember, Bitcoin was born during the financial crisis. So people were feeling a lot of ways and a lot of broken systems were really, you know, put in the spotlight. So it would make sense that he's being a petty Polly. Do you like
he
that? I made
he,
it up.
And oh, made him a
they,
kid.
No. I mean, and I think, you know what, this is frustrating because every time I read an article where they refer to Satoshi Nakamoto as him, I'm so agitated. I'm like, oh, who said? It could be they, it could be she. It could be anybody, but now it's ingrained in my brain and I literally have to do like a swear jar like every time I refer to Satoshi as a he.
Who genderized him in the first place?
The men. I mean, I think it was an assumption that was made.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, they were gendered. Rude. Yeah. But I would love, I mean, I think Satoshi Nakamoto should always remain private no matter who they are, because it's just the smartest thing to do. I think it's so cool that someone created this whole new financial revolution, dropped it in our laps and said, okay, have fun, kids, and disappeared. Like, I respect that. Yeah, I'm really
so far.
I'm really excited to see what they do next. Bitcoin was so much like the AOL or Netscape of cryptocurrency, and with that there are faults, right? Like, the Bitcoin has the biggest market cap. It's obviously the first cryptocurrency and the first monetary system that used blockchain technology, but it also has flaws because V1 is never going to be as good as V9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, yeah.
Everything's been built on Bitcoin as a foundation. So when you see a lot of flaws with Bitcoin, such as the environmental impact, which has been corrected with protocols like proof of stake, at the end of the day, you're going to see newer generations of cryptocurrencies are going to be the one that really solves this problem. Even if you look at the second cryptocurrency that became popular, Ethereum. Ethereum's transitioning from proof of work to proof of stake, and that's huge. So it really shows that you can change the impact and the narrative, because the environmental question is such a good question and it's so important, but it's so multi-layered. And if you're concerned about the environment, as we all should be in doing our part, definitely check out our content on Instagram pertaining to, we have a couple posts and we have an amazing article. I'll put it in our stories when the podcast comes out, but it's by Nick Carter, Harvard Business Review, not the Backstreet Boy, but he wrote a really fantastic article for Harvard Business Review all about the environmental impact of blockchain, but also comparing it and giving us context to say what the environmental impact of gold is and the banking industry and how we can make things more energy efficient. The coolest thing about crypto is it can be, even proof of work cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, they can be mined using solar power or wind power or girl power. So I think as long as we work as a community together to like see the problem and fix it, I'm all for it. But you can make financial decisions based, or investment decisions based on the environmental footprint and the environmental impact that you want to leave. So we just featured Algo recently on our Instagram, Algorand, which is a carbon negative blockchain solution. So something like that is ideal.
Cool.
Yeah.
We made a post about that too, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I bought some more the other day.
Nice.
Big disclaimer energy. But yeah, I've been buying Algo for a while and I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I haven't bought since they changed the protocol and the APY has changed on Coinbase.
Oh, the governance model changed.
Yes.
Well, I can see why you would be like less enticed to, because the APY was reduced so much. But we could look at like some staking options on some decentralized platforms. So maybe we should make a podcast episode out of that. Okay. We'll open up Zapper. We can walk everybody how to actually stake and borrow and lend. And
yeah,
that would be super cool.
Should I mint my NFTs on Algo?
I would like mint them on something like Polygon.
Polygon? Okay.
I think that's the way to go. Polygon is
I think a lot of people feel comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It's like on the main like Zapper dashboard, and their gas fees are like less than a dollar.
Cool. Maybe we could do a workshop about that. Or just
yeah, I love that. I actually also, I'm saying that because I have some Polygon and ETH bridged on the Polygon network, so you can use that for your minting fees.
Oh, because I have to bridge them, or?
Yeah, so essentially, you have a Zapper dashboard? Or you...
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. So
I need to get one.
We'll definitely set you up for this.
Okay.
But when you go on there, you can choose what blockchain you want to run on, and then you can look at the pools and liquidity pairings in that. And you can be on the Ethereum blockchain, but invest in, for example, like a Polygon USD pairing. But to actually get your crypto over to a different blockchain, you have to make a bridge. Okay. So you're hopping blockchains. You're essentially jumping trains.
Wow.
If we're going to continue with the train metaphor. So that the thing that's frustrating is that does have a gas fee. So if you're bridging from Ethereum to Polygon, you get hit with this one-time gas fee. But if you bridge all the money you need to for your Polygon transactions or what you want to invest, it's fine because on Polygon, it's like a dollar.
Okay. So, and then if then when I go to mint my NFT, I set the price, how much I want it to be, right? The starting price?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the investment I make, and that is then it's sitting on the Polygon network.
Yeah, and actually depending on the platform, you can make the option for the buyer to mint.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's really cool to do on Polygon, and actually I think it's great because a lot of witches in our DMs have been asking, like they've been saying, they're either artists or they want to invest in NFTs, mm-hmm. but what makes going back to the inaccessibility, it's very difficult if you are looking for a project on a budget on the Ethereum network, because you might find an amazing project that equals to less than $100 USD that you love, but then you might have to pay another 100 plus on for gas fees. I just love how exciting like the landscape is getting. Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet the other day, let me see if I can pull it up, but it was saying how like it's never good, like it's never fun to have like a long wait for the ladies room, but when you see it at a Web3 conference, you get excited because it actually means there's so many women there, mm-hmm. and we just don't get to see that enough.
I just think it's interesting that the like whole shared experience idea, because people who really love the NBA and are like really psyched about the teams, like you can still own part of it, but it's like 1% of the team now, like in stocks
right.
situation in Web2, I guess. But like they're making DAOs that you can buy a team with, and that's like you are so a part of the experience. You become more involved in the NBA.
Yeah, because...
And the shared ownership of the experience.
It means more. Mm-hmm. Something means more when it belongs to you. And that's why digital ownership mm-hmm. is so important too.
Well, people say like, oh, I spend my money on things or experiences. And now you can like say you spend money on experiences, but you're also getting some ownership of it too. Like by the merch or the airdrop or the art you're buying to go along with it.
Absolutely. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier in the episode about renting NFTs.
Oh yeah. I definitely want to loan out my NFTs for like those digital like hype houses people are building.
Yeah, I want
the metaverse
to build a digital hype. I am so set on the Crypto Witch Clubhouse.
Yeah.
One, because the name is so good. It just rolls off the tongue. And two, I love that we can take like our art school experience and we can do a whole curated thing. I think mm-hmm. you and I could make the coolest gallery. I'll write all the plaques, but I'll make it like fun and exciting. And like you can pick the art. We'll position it all, and then we can make like a a Web3 scavenger hunt or something. So like, not only do you get to go to this gallery and see this cool art, there's like a murder mystery assault or something. There doesn't have to be murder, but I think there should be a mystery. It's like everything I ever wanted to happen in real life. If you like walk into a New York City art gallery.
Reveal. Maybe that's how the NFTs come out.
Yes. I want there to be like, it's like that show Only Murders in the Building. Like, oh. I am like a middle-aged like New York man. It's like a curmudgeon. Probably gonna cut that out. I would love to talk about our tweet about Yay, because it was one of our most liked tweets this past week.
Okay.
And I think it's such a good example of how some people who hate NFTs would actually love NFTs. So I'm going to read the note from Kanye West, Yay. He has like a Sharpie written on a paper note, then he uploaded it to Twitter, and it says, "My focus is on building real products in the real world. Real food, real clothes, real shelter. Do not ask me to do a fucking NFT. Yay." And then at the bottom it says, "Ask me later." And I just thought that was so interesting, because if anybody would be into artistic freedom and ownership, it's Kanye West. Like, mm-hmm. NFTs would rock his world, because NFTs aren't limited to JPEGs. It can be music files, it can be a deed to the house, medical records, etc. But Donda 2 just came out, and to have this creative control, he released it on Stem Player, and you had to pay $200. And a lot of people do not have $200 to throw out an album and a very limited player that's not going to encompass everything. But Ye could have released Donda 2 as an NFT, which means he could control the supply, control the scarcity. He could receive lifelong royalties that are way bigger than anything else he would do on something like Stem Player, Spotify, or wherever. And I just thought it was so interesting, because I'm like, I think as soon as people start discovering how they can utilize it for themselves, it's going to blow mm-hmm. people's minds, because we just have to get off the JPEG.
Well, and the big thing about successful NFTs are that they come with a whole community where you're doing stuff together in real life.
Yeah, there's utility there.
Yeah. So like, that's what a lot of the NFTs are all about.
Yeah, it's so much more. And I think, you know, anybody who doesn't understand NFTs, if you research it for literally five minutes, I think you can get a bigger understanding. Like, I'm excited to see how musical artists will do it, and realtors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm excited to see how brands are starting to explore the metaverse. I mean, there's so much to explore and find, and like, I think we haven't even gone to the next step. And sometimes we're so in the space, and we've been mm-hmm. in it for a while now. It makes me feel like the infrastructure still isn't there. Like, I feel like we've been in the space so long that we feel like it's more prevalent than it is. Because mm-hmm. we're on like the Web3 messaging boards. We're mm-hmm. talking to women in Web3. That's the spaces we found ourselves, but there's so many people. One of my friends from Connecticut, I said a couple months ago when I saw her, like, oh, we're doing blockchain education. And she's was like, what is that? And I was like, blockchain, like crypto. And she's like, what? I was like, Bitcoin. And she's like, oh. So she had like heard of it once or twice, which I think a lot of people have. But to me, I think coming from our Brooklyn bubble, who's very saturated in crypto, even our friends and don't own it are pretty well informed about it. It was shocking to me. And then I remembered, I was like, this shouldn't be shocking. Like, it's true. I forget that people are really still at the early stages.
Netscape days. And so we're going to see a lot of brands doing like education, you think, in the next few years.
And I think it's funny what you were saying before we started this podcast, where to advertise Web3 and to educate and to get people into Web3, you have to present it to them on Web2 and go with them and make that shift. So for example, when the internet came out, AOL didn't advertise, promote it on the internet. AOL sent people the CD-ROMs in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Because they needed to do direct mail to get people on the internet. And I think that's genius.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Witch Club podcast. Subscribe and follow us online at Crypto Witch Club.